We've been for the last few weeks talking about how to make the holidays great, how to make them better. We've looked at several things. We've talked about dealing with anger, and I'm not even going to ask you if you did that or not. If you've accomplished that one, and here, if you hadn't, it's about to. If you hadn't, it ought to be laid by now because the traffic and the shopping that's already pretty much done, and so you can kind of relax now. And so depression and thankfulness and worship. We've talked about all those things. But this one, I really want to bring this to a point with one simple thought, with one simple message this morning. Don't have very much time. Tommy and I were talking a while ago before the service, and he was asking if he had a little bit of leeway in time. And I said, well, we're really trying to keep it in an hour so people can get going. And he said, well, we might have to shorten you up. I said, I already shortened myself. So, that's my friend over there. He likes to act tough. I mean, a little side road here. Tommy will tell you he doesn't have any mercy and how that's not his spiritual gift. Did you hear the big puddle of mush up here talking about his granddaughter? We're not buying it, Tommy. We're not buying it for a minute. We know what that baby does to you. So, we're not buying that tough guy image. But, this one, really simple message, 2 points that I want to share with you that I think is the highlight of the Christmas season, or could be the greatest part of Christmas, making Christmas special. Most of us have had the experience. We have had the great joy of going out and purchasing that gift. That gift. You know the one. That gift that, whether it was for a child or whether it was for, a friend or your spouse or whoever, that gift that as they tore the paper off of it, they opened it up, and when they opened it up, you could see in their face that they didn't like it. Y'all thought I was going the other way with that, didn't you? You've bought that gift, haven't you? They've torn it open, and inside you are just like, and what really makes it, there are times when you buy that gift and you know you bought that gift. You're just trying to figure out a way to smooth it over. But when it's really bad is when you think, man, that's the best thing. They're going to love it. Oh, they're just going to hug my neck. They're just going to not play with anything else. Kind of like Tommy was talking about a while ago with Haley and that little manger scene. They're just going to forget everything else, and this is going to be the best thing. When somebody asks them what they got for Christmas, it's going to be the only thing they talk about, and you're sitting there about to bust. Just can't wait for them to get to it. And when they open it, you see that look in their face, and you know you missed it. You thought you had it, but you missed it. Now, on the other hand, you bought that gift where it was the other way around. That doesn't happen quite. You miss it more than you get it right, don't you? You miss it more than. But you have bought that gift, and you've got it. And when they open it up, it was the one. It was the one that you could see on their face. Boom! That was a home run. That was a hit. That was the one that just will leave them speechless. That is the one that they'll be talking about. That's the one when they go back to work, they're going to take it to work with them, and they're going to show their coworkers. They're going to take it to the family gatherings, and they're going to go in and they're going to show their family, and they're going to be bragging about it. And they're going to be telling everybody, look what I got. You know that gift. Well, I want to talk to you for a moment about that gift. There is one gift. There's a gift that I am not sure. They say it's better to give than to receive. I'm not all so sure about that, to be honest with you. I'm kind of liking the receiving end. I'll be honest. I'll be honest. Y'all can sit there and look all holy if you want to. I like the receiving end. Giving's all right, but I got a few with me. Some of you are gonna sit there and look all holy, but I knew Debbie. Debbie's telling me, you like to give. You make up people to give stuff to. But we she just looks through the phone book and finds people's names. Debbie likes to give. That's just her nature. But I like that receiving thing. There's one gift that you can give One gift that you can receive that is just the highlight of the Christmas season. And the interesting thing about it is this is the time of the year that folks like to get it. And no, it's not fruitcake. You know, I am personally convinced there are only like 7 or 8 fruitcakes in the world, and they just keep getting passed from person to person. Nobody actually eats fruitcake. You know, that's my observation about fruitcake. Most of you know where I'm going. That gift is Jesus. You know, people are receptive to that this year as at this time of year as they are no other. So this morning, I just want to challenge you. This morning, encourage you that this season, whether it's today with your family, or whether it's this week as you go out and you're talking to your friends and you're showing them all those other things, it may be as simple as when you're saying to them, you know, when they say, "What did you get for Christmas?" and you say, "Well, I got this jacket, I got this ring, I got this, I got that." But the greatest thing I've ever gotten, the greatest gift I've ever gotten, was Jesus Christ. You know, it may be something as simple as that. I want to challenge you this week to slip in there somewhere the gift of Jesus Christ. Some way, somehow, whether it's with your family, whether it's with work, wherever you go, to some way to slip in Christ. It's amazing when you stop and just put a little effort to it, how simple it is. Just what I just said. Just as simple as when you're talking about the gifts you receive. Just to slip in that the greatest gift I've ever got was Jesus Christ. Somebody said, what are you talking about? And you don't have to know some great presentation. You don't have to get out, your great big thick Bible and turn to 17 Bible references. You simply have to tell them 3 things. You have to tell them what your life was like before you knew Christ. You have to tell them about meeting Christ. And you have to tell them what your life is like now. That's all you got to do. It's not that complicated just to simply squeeze in just simply an opportunity to share the Savior, to talk about Jesus. You say, "Why should I do that?" You know, of all the things that are going on, why should I do that? 2 quick points, and I'm going to let you go eat barbecue or ham or whatever you got. One of them is, you may not like this, but very simply, it is a command. As I look at the story of Christmas and I think about how it plays out, we talked about the shepherds some, but notice this. The shepherds leave. And they go out and they're praising and glorifying God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Now, as I thought about that, and I look at that, I just think, and I realize it doesn't say that explicitly, but I believe what that's saying to us when you look at it is after they went, the angels came and they appeared to them and said, "You go. You go and see the Messiah. The Messiah has been born." And now he says they go, and they, once they leave, they're glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen as it was told unto them. I think what that passage is simply saying is the angels leaned over and said, "Now go tell everybody you meet." Yeah, listen, and that's not that far stretched, because the Bible over and over again tells us that we are commanded, we are directed to tell people about Jesus Christ. We're told to go out into the highways, the hedgeways. We're told to witness. We're told to share the faith. Over and over again, we are told that it is a command. We don't have a choice in the matter. You know, most of us look through the Word of God, and we see passages that say something like, "Thou shalt not lie," and we go, "Oh, that's a commandment." You know, we quote that one to our children, "Thou shalt not lie." That's a commandment. That's not optional. That is a directive. That is an order. There's no wiggle room in that statement. You know, "Thou shalt not steal." That's a commandment. We don't even question that statement. But yet, in the New Testament, where it says, "Go out and tell," for some reason, we've decided that's optional. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't see a lot of difference in the language in "thou shalt not lie" and "go out and tell." You know, go and tell. Begin here. Go out into the outermost parts of the world. I don't see a great deal of difference in that. It is a clear, it is an obvious commandment from God that we are directed to tell others about Jesus Christ. You know, as we go out, you know, there are a lot of things that, you know, at Christmas, Tommy was talking about a moment ago, and traditions and how they change. You know, there are some things that at Christmas, you know, you just don't mess with. They're baseball, apple pie, mama, and certain traditions at Christmas you just don't mess with. You will be excommunicated from the family in a skinny minute. Your Christmas presents will be taken back. You will be marked off the list for next year. There are certain things. Anybody got those traditions in your family? They're just, don't even sit there and play like that. I know y'all. How many of you got, there's certain things that, man, they just got to happen that way. Okay. I thought, my family, I knew my family wasn't the only crazy one. I know they're crazy. I just knew they wasn't the only one. It's just, that's the way it's going to work. They're just going to be certain things that happen at a certain place at a certain time. That's just the way it works. You don't mess with those things. And you know that. You just don't bother them. But yet, here again, we have a commandment from God, and we act like sometimes it doesn't matter. A command. Go and tell. But as I thought about it, here's something that I noticed that I think for me, you see this happen sometimes. You ever had to make a kid apologize? You know how those apologies sound, right? I'm sorry, but I hate you. How they sound. When you have to make someone do something like that, it just loses something. It just doesn't have quite the that it has when, it's one thing when you say to your kids, come here and give me a hug. And you're like, I said, come here. Come here and give me a hug. You better come here. Than it is when you walk in the back door and they just, Mama! And they just come running and, you know the difference, right? There's a difference. Well, as I thought about it, I think there's a difference. I think God is pleased when we honor Him by obeying His commandments. But here's something I noticed. I'm going to be honest with you. When I look in this passage, I can't tell you for certain I see a clear-cut commandment. I think that telling people about Jesus is simply a consequence of seeing Him to start with. I think telling people about Jesus is just simply a consequence of meeting Him to begin with. Now, I don't want to pick on poor Tommy over here. But have y'all noticed how in the last year or two, how many of his illustrations and song introductions have something to do with Haley? Anybody else notice that? I'm not writing those for him, folks. Archie leads the music, and Archie's never once told Tommy, said, now before you sing, you got to tell us your latest Haley story. You can't sing if you don't. You got to tell us your latest. It's just a consequence. Be honest, how many of y'all ever thought Tommy would be quite as mushy? That's what I thought. We just never thought he would. How many of y'all have watched Archie walk past James and Tabitha? They don't even exist. You noticed it in the stack of Christmas presents, didn't you, James? Nobody had to make Archie do that. When that baby was born, listen, I went up to the hospital. I didn't have to take Archie and reach his arm around behind his back and say, come on, boy, we're going to see that granddaughter. It was kind of the other way around, actually. Come on, you want to see my baby? Yes, Archie, I was coming anyway. It's simply a consequence. When you see Jesus, you're going to want to tell somebody about it. I see all through the Word of God, I see that. I think about Andrew, come and see. I think about the woman in the well. Come and meet this man that told me everything I've ever done. I think about the apostles. They spent those 3 years with Jesus, and they were so determined to tell somebody about Him that history tells us that every one of them was martyred for their faith. I look through the Bible, and those that meet Jesus, that, there's only one that I found that comes to my mind right off that I know that when they met Jesus, didn't go and tell anybody about Him. You know who it was? Only one I can find. Oh, they went and told. They may not have liked it. Wasn't but one that I can think of that there's no recorded story of them saying anything else about him, and that was Nicodemus. The others talked about him. They may not have liked him, but they talked about him. Nicodemus, it simply says, went away sad. Went away sad. Went away sad. Listen, it is a consequence of seeing Jesus. Listen, I've heard several of y'all talk about this. You had the same thing happen at your house. Santa Claus called my house this week. Yeah, didn't he, Tenzi? Mm-hmm. Man, you didn't have to go up and twist her arm to tell you about that. You didn't have to force her to tell that story. She was telling that story. She wanted everybody to know it. You know, I've noticed that about events in people's lives. They get married. They want to tell you about their husband. They want to tell you about their wife. You know, they want to show you the pictures of their grandbaby. You see people get married and they walk around carrying that photo album. You know, you ask them to pass you the salt and you think you'd kill them, but they'll take around 14 pounds of pictures and thrilled to death to show you every one of them. I know, just can't wait. If you've seen Jesus, you can't wait to tell. I think about the kids when they were smaller. First thing they'd do on Christmas morning, ripping open their Christmas presents. As soon as they'd get them open, they'd run to the kitchen. They'd get on the phone. They'd call their cousin. What'd you get? I got this. I got that. What'd you get? I got this. I got that. And they were going to see each other in an hour. But they couldn't wait to tell about the gift. They couldn't wait to tell about the gift. Some of you have seen it. You take a child and you give that child the smallest gift. And most children are ecstatic to have a gift. Most children are thrilled. It doesn't make much difference unless it's clothes. Most children are thrilled to have a present. I've watched mine open up stuff they didn't even know what it was. They was glad to have it. Yeah, glad to have it. Just tickled to have it. Just thrilled to have a gift. If you had the gift of Jesus Christ, why in the world aren't we sharing it? You have an opportunity today as you leave here and go to lunch. Go spend Christmas with your family to tell them about Jesus. Let's just be honest. How many of you in here have a family member that doesn't know Christ? Got a friend that doesn't know Christ? Opportunity's there. The chance is there to simply tell them about Jesus. We're going to have our invitation. I'm going to invite you to come and kneel at this altar and say, Lord, help me today. Help me this season. Open up my mouth and let me say the right... Listen, every one of us know there's a way you can tell somebody about Jesus and do more damage than good. You can make them mad. Don't let me come across as holier than thou. Don't let me come across as beating them in the head. Don't let me come across harsh or judgmental. Lord, help me to tell my family member, my friend, about Jesus this Christmas. Some of you here, you know as well as I do, especially when it's family, that's hard to do. Some of you know really when it's your children, it's even harder. They think we're independent, we're grown, we don't need advice from mom and daddy. God, help me this Christmas season to share Jesus. It'll be the best gift I can give. But more importantly, you're here this morning and you yourself have never received that gift. You've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart. You don't know what I'm talking about this morning. You're kind of hearing this for the first time. You can't say today, you know what, this Christmas season, I know that I have received the gift of salvation, that I have accepted Christ into my heart. You may be a good person. Listen, you got up on Christmas morning when you could be one of a million places, and you came to church. You're a good person. No, nobody's questioning that. Nobody's saying you're a bad person. What I'm saying to you is that the Bible says that all of us without Christ are sinners. that make you a bad person, makes you a sinner, makes you lost, makes you separated from God. And if you're here today and you don't know Christ, the greatest thing I can give you is the gift of salvation. I'm doing right now what I'm challenging you to go do with your family. I'm offering you, I'm telling you about Jesus Christ, offering you an opportunity to come and ask Christ into your heart. The best gift you'll get today, I don't care what else you get, the best gift you'll ever get is the gift of salvation, of free eternal life. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death, and that sin separates us from God. You're here today and you don't know Christ. I want to invite you to come. We'll take time to show you from God's Word how you can receive that gift, how you can know Jesus Christ. Those of you here who know Christ, challenge you this morning to fill this altar and say, "Dear Lord, help me this Christmas season to give the greatest gift I could ever give." I want to ask you to bow your heads as our musicians are coming. Christians, you're sitting here today, you know, in just a little bit, you're going to be eating lunch with people who need Jesus. It may be something as simple as saying, "Wait a minute, you know, we never do, but this year I'd like to say the blessing. I'd like to thank God for our food." It may be something that simple. God, help me to have the courage, the opportunity to share Jesus with someone today.